हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుఃఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. Hare Krishna. So welcome all of you for the Behavioral Science for Youth. Yesterday we did this topic of balancing extremes. It's a very deep topic. In 45 minutes I rushed through with this PowerPoint. Now we will not be teaching this PowerPoint which I did already yesterday. But today we will be doing something slightly different. We will go through these episodes which we did yesterday and find out what qualities that we have to cultivate in us by which we will be able to balance extremes in our life. That's what we will do today, because otherwise we may just, you know, rush through this topic. And yesterday the questions were also going, many questions other than the topic. My sincere request to all of you, every evening I am focusing on one topic for just 45 minutes. Be very focused when you are hearing the topic, And while hearing the topic, jot down some questions which may arise in your mind about the topic, so that it will be relevant to the people also when they hear the question answers. Otherwise, there are people asking questions completely outmoded. For such questions, you can write email to me separately, voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. But here, while asking questions at the end of the session every day, please stick to the topic, because we want to learn one subject very thoroughly. So in this balancing extremes yesterday, I showed you that we all are struggling with our balance. Now think about these topics, sadhana versus preaching. Why are we not able to balance? So we are going to analyze today about why are we struggling to balance, where are we going wrong, and what do we need to do, what steps we have to take in order to become expert in balancing. So when we do that, then we will be making some forward step, progressive step. Like, you know, we want to do our sadhana and we want to do preaching. Sometimes we do so much preaching that our sadhana suffers. Sometimes we do so much sadhana, we become like Bhajanandi and we don't go out for preaching at all. Now even in this lockdown period, there are many devotees giving Zoom lectures and also having phone calls, responding to emails and keeping very active touch with those to whom they have been preaching. So we also have that opportunity. So we don't have to think that we are in lockdown, now we are not able to preach. No, now people are preaching through media all the more than before. So then what do we do in order to balance? So I would say, the sadhana versus preaching, why are we not able to balance? If you very carefully observe, there are various reasons. One of the reasons is, we don't know the priority. So therefore we have to learn prioritization. So I will put it down in writing in another sheet, so that later on we will come back to this. Yeah, prioritizing. For that we have to learn the time management, which I have already done two sessions before. So because if you know how to allow time for sadhana, how to allow time for preaching, there are people who strictly stick to the timing. So we learned there in time management about four generations of time management. First one is, just make a to-do list and go on executing. If you do that, then only balancing will be difficult. Because we are just making a to-do list and trying to execute. It won't work like that. Then you go to second generation time management, where you don't make to-do list for only one day. You make a calendar for a week or for a month. If I can't do something today, I will do it in this another day of the week. So, that's second generation. Third generation means you identify, you know, what are your priorities, which are very important, and then what is not so priority, you leave them. Even if you don't do also, it's all right, you can leave them. Similarly, when you say what is preaching, what is sadhana, you write down. We have to make a humanly feasible plan. We only have 24 hours, all of us. One example I'll tell you. All of you think about the smartphone you have with you. Year after year, you are increasing the number of people within your WhatsApp account. But although you are increasing the number of people in your contacts, do you think your time is increasing? That means time is, as the number of people increase more, your time is getting more divided. They are swallowing more of your time. Therefore, you find a time crunch. You find a like a rope around the neck, it becomes very tight. Because number of people occupying your time are more and more, but your amount of time available with you is the same. So now we have to decide, go back to your contacts, which contacts you want to keep, which contacts you want to delete. Who are the people who mean a lot to you in your life, who are very important for you, and keep them. And there are so many other people, you know, with whom sometimes you communicate, you feel it's a loss of time. There are many non-uplifting people with whom you have to sometimes interact, and unfortunately. So decide yourself. If you have, you know, say 300 names in your mobile, now you decide to make it 150. So in this way, you can cut down some of your time which you are spending otherwise. I'm just telling an example. In the same manner, when you go back to this PPT here, if you see here, very first one, sadhana versus preaching. What do you want to do in sadhana? Write it down, how much time it takes, and what do you want to do in preaching? How much time? And then you can observe yourself. Why we sometimes preach more and do less sadhana? Because you become passionate in preaching sometimes. So, therefore, in the time management, I showed you clearly quadrant 1 and quadrant 2. Quadrant 2 is called not urgent but important. Quadrant 1 is urgent important for you. Quadrant 3 and 4 are useless. Quadrant 1 is called quadrant 3 is, and quadrant 4 is called quadrant waste. So we don't want the waste, third and fourth quadrant, which is actually not urgent important, not urgent not important. Why we have to delete those two quadrants? Because whether it is urgent is not important, then why to waste time? Anyway, it is not. So delete that. Therefore, quadrant 3 and 4 are in tamaguna, rajoguna. You will see that. And quadrant 1 is rajoguna, quadrant 2 is sattvaguna. So if sattvaguna, therefore I told you yesterday, if mode of goodness is increased, you will be a very good planner. I will again remind you, I told you that time, I will again remind you, what all comes in quadrant 2? Preventive management. In an article. But then you got distracted by some other, you know, recent news, breaking news. You know, you went into that. And then you find 45 minutes, 1 hour is gone. And that is coming in quadrant 3 and 4. Those things. So therefore, I was telling you, make your priorities clear. And when you get up in the morning, you should know how my day will go today. Okay, let us see the second one. Academics versus Krishna consciousness. Why we find it difficult? Again, it will come to prioritization. We have not planned about how to do with academics. So, one more thing now we will write there. So, making a basically a plan. You know, what is a plan? Plan means you do in paper, like a blueprint. And then you execute. If you haven't planned anything, what will you execute? Therefore, there is a saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. It is said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Which means, you have to plan about everything. So, for example, I am going to begin a new year now. You all are beginning a new year now. For your academic new year. So first thing, what you should do, what are the subjects I have? Which subject is tough? Which is easy? Who can supply me some good notes? Who can supply me guidance? So making, gathering the necessary things and preparing for academics. In the same manner, in Krishna consciousness, if you have to do a balanced thing, means what? There should be time for Shravanam, time for Kirtanam, time for the morning program. So both things you write down. And when you write down, one example I'll tell you. When I go in the train, sometimes I carry 20 books with me. Because all those books I am very eager to read. You know. But my journey is only 1.5 day journey. Well, how many books can I finish? Many times I am like a donkey carrying 20 books and coming back and I have not even opened more than one book. So is it necessary to carry all the books? So what I should do? Planning is poor planning. Because I want to read these books, but there is no time. Time is limited. So I should plan, okay, in this 1.5 day journey, I will finish these two books. Two small, thin books I will finish. And then next week I am coming back in the train. I have some time. So I'll finish the other two books. So the planning also saves a lot of time, and we have to achieve tangible goals by planning. So I can say that I'll write this. Achieve. They're showing this, no? Yeah. So second, this is what we have written. I achieved tangible goals. Like you can ask, what have I done for my parents in this semester? Somebody may say, oh, I spent time with my mother in the kitchen cutting sabji for her. Or I went with my father to the business along with him and spent some time. I taught my brother some school subjects. Or I gave him guidance on how to get into IIT or something. You have done something for the parents. And what have you done for your health? Are you doing little health exercises? And how are you doing about your academics? Have you planned for your academics? See, if your life is like a guerrilla warfare, you know what is guerrilla warfare? That means no planning. Suddenly from somebody is ambushing you from unknown place, pat, they come and hit you, then you won't be able to face them. Similarly, most students, they don't plan. At the end of the semester, suddenly they are confronted by the exams. That's how they find difficulty in balancing. Because what happens is sometimes, you know, huge amount of task is undone and remaining, and therefore they are unable to balance. Our task is like a big watermelon. One watermelon, you cannot eat like this. You cut it into pieces. If you cut it into pieces, you can eat even 4 watermelons also easily. So big tasks can be easily accomplished by cutting them into smaller tasks. Therefore I am saying planning is a very important aspect in everything. So then you will not be suddenly shocked with a huge amount of things coming on you if you plan well. So you can also, we will also write this one. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Okay. That second one, we learnt about planning now. Like this we will, today we are, this is what we are trying to do now. How can we balance? Let us go one by one. Third one, yes, health versus service. Okay, let us see what is the parameter which causes us difficulty in balancing this. Now, sometimes, One is over enthusiastic in doing service, correct? No, beyond one's bodily capacity, then one's health falls. Health suffers. Some students we have seen like this. Sometimes they go to they take up too much load of services because maybe sometimes there is a shortfall of devotees. So one devotee gets 3 devotee service sometimes. So then his health collapses. Like he became late night for 3-4 days. Then due to lack of sleep, then his head gets heated up. You know, daytime he's irritated. And then he's not getting enough sleep. Then he gets fatigue. Fatigue? Fatigue means tiredness arising from lack of sleep. Or he gets irritated. Or he gets sick. You will see some devotees actually will go on and on and on and on doing too much of hard work, and one day they will collapse in the bed, they get viral fever or something, and they will be in the bed for a few days like that. So we are unable to balance between health and service. So some people are too much service oriented, some people are too much health oriented also. That's another thing. They bother about their health so much they hardly do any service. That's another extreme. They too much take care of the body. And they don't do any service. Actually, these two people are combination. The person who is too much caring for his body and not doing service, he dumps his service on the other person who does more service. And his health goes for a toss. You understand, no? One is service oriented, one is health oriented. So the health oriented person, service comes to whom? Service oriented person. So you will find in many of our student centers, you will find like one third of the boys get squeezed out. They have too much services. And the other fellows say, I have to do my academics, I have to take care of my health. And they are, you know, too much I me, mind conscious. So these fellows get overloaded by service. Then what do we do? Let us see. Health versus service. That means, in the name of overload of service, we are ruining our health. Then what is to be done? One of the things I would say, these are things which even leaders should worry about if devotees are having an overload of service. If you carefully see why there is overload of service, we undertake many things. We want to do many camps, we want to do many programs, many events, we want to cook a big feast. Then there has to be, so I will call it as being realistic. So, being realistic and not greedy. If you do this, this you will see that. What is the meaning of being realistic? See, I require 6 hours of sleep. But if I am taking too much of service, I sleep four hours for a few days and then I suffer. So, in order to be realistic, then we have to cut down some service. Correct, no? So, cutting down sometimes may make you more healthy, but the managers may not be happy oftentimes. Because they want to, like how many of you have experienced that we do a youth camp, Sankalp 1, Sankalp 2, Sankalp 3, 4 times we do camps again and again. So we have to see if some people's health is going down, then we may have to, you know, sometimes, you know, reduce our plans for expansion. Or I can also write, one example tell you, in company scenario you will understand very easily also. Many companies, you know, they want to also do a lot and they have to compete with other rival companies. Correct, no? So in order to compete with the rival companies and they are getting customers. Both. So what they do generally, they try to take up more and more. Just like in Tirupati I have seen, you know, they call one fellow who want to shave, they will shave a little bit and keep him in the side. Come here. And then little bit keep him. And then after it becomes 20, 25 people, you know. And they all be screaming, "Arre, I am waiting half an hour." So who he will call for shaving, you know, who shouts the most. Whoever screams the most, he will say, okay, come, come on, don't shout. Then he will shave and leave him. Then one more fellow will shout, then he will call him. Now why are they accumulating the heads, can you say? Why are they touching and accumulating the heads? Because other barbers won't touch them. So sometimes we can become greedy for having too many customers. Like I remember when we go for a one-time program in college, 400 boys, 500 boys. But how many can you hold, even if many are ready to come? So the demands are unlimited and the resources are limited. So that is the point. So you can say here, I'll say here. Yeah. Yeah. So manpower resources are limited and demands are unlimited. So then what do we do? Be realistic. Learn to live with whatever you can. Another example I'll tell you, book marathon time. You know, some temples feel that we want to distribute a lot of books. Prabhupada should be pleased. How do you please? You come back to temple at 1 o'clock. The night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And next day morning, no morning program. People get up at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And then after 1 month of marathon, you will find some of the devotees who are full time in the temple, they go back because they lost spiritual enthusiasm because of overload of work at night, coming late night and late in the morning, no chanting, no morning program. So that means, you know, they achieved the goal or the target of how many books they wanted to distribute, but they lost the manpower source, resource. So which is intelligence? To have a very balanced schedule, return back at 9 o'clock, all of you sleep 6 hours, get up in the morning, do your morning sadhana, and you can do say 5,000 books. Or if you return back at 1 o'clock at night, you know, every day you burn out yourself and you can distribute 10,000 books. Which is better? First one is better. Correct? Now why? Because this year he did 5,000, next year how much he will do? Again 5 more. So imagine he spends lifelong in the temple. That comes to how much? So 5,000 multiplied by next 40 years. How much it is? 2 lakh. But now you made him distribute 10,000 and you sent him home. It's exactly like the golden, the goose which laid the golden egg. You got a few eggs and you cut it so that a million eggs will come and the goose is dead. It's like that only. You understand, no? So therefore, when resources are limited, that means manpower resources are limited and demands are unlimited. The whole world is our audience for us to preach. So therefore, we should be realistic in taking up new things. Don't be too greedy for expansion plan. So now, if you take care of this, then what will happen? Health can be maintained along with service. Like I have seen, some devotees are very mature. As soon as they see one of the mentors or preachers is appearing sickly, he is very tired, he will say, Prabhu, see, your health is not good, you don't have to go, you know, just stay back. You just take good rest, you know, next 3 days you don't do anything, just take rest and do your, you know, academics. Prabhu, you know, everybody is going to call the boys, no, you don't go, you relax. Because they understand that if you give the time for, you know, recuperation, and then he can perform more efficiently afterwards. So we need balance in that. So that is the way we can balance. Yeah. Health versus service. Actually, many people have experienced that some boys have worked in three shifts in 3 weeks. First shift, first week, second shift, third. So after some years, they really get torn to pieces. So therefore, they later on have a change of job. Health is a very important thing. A sound mind and a sound body, it is said. So if your body health is good, then the mind is healthy, then you can be very enthusiastic, brisk and joyful. Okay, another thing, taking in and giving out. That means, you know, studying yourself nicely, scriptures, and then teaching scriptures. That's the meaning of this. Janma sarthaka kori kara para upakar. Now, in this connection, what happens? If people are not studying themselves, what will they go and speak? Think about it. They'll be bluffing. There are many preachers who, while going in their cars, they may prepare whatever topic they have to speak on. So if one is not very thoroughly prepared, it said the teacher should know 10 times more than the students in any subject you speak. And then you have weight, you have authenticity. And not only you should be able to just present the theory part, we should be able to analytically think, evaluate, analyze, compare, contrast. You should be able to contemplate and you should have realizations. So therefore, teaching Krishna consciousness is not a very easy thing because people will throw questions also to us and we should be able to answer successfully. So, taking in versus giving out. Think very deeply about it. What is to be done for balancing the both? What I would say between the two, we have to make a rule, a policy that unless one has taken in some fixed amount of wisdom and has proven that he is quite well understood in philosophy, they should not be empowered to preach. They should not be empowered to preach immaturely. Correct, no? Because immaturely, if they are made to preach, they will bluff, they won't have any substance. So therefore, there has to be time allotted. Like for example, okay, I'll write here. I'll go back to the. See, read it, somebody read it.
Which one, brother?
Fourth one.
Strict filling and inspection of sadhana chart. Hearing and reading chart, etc. to ensure sufficient taking in enough Krishna consciousness to feel the juice of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Nowadays, sometimes very, very young preachers who have just joined the temple, they sometimes go for youth preaching. Huh? And they start going to multiple colleges and reaching multiple students, and they don't have enough knowledge of the subject, or they don't have enough understanding of the subject, or they themselves are struggling with sense gratification. And they say, we are preachers. What kind of preacher you can be? Unless you have sufficiently done sadhana. For example, sadhana means, like if you say, if you take milk, Prabhupada therefore gave the example of milk. In the milk, you add water, it becomes thin. You add more water, it becomes thin. Like you heard the story, one king told all the praja that, you know, everybody bring, you know, one glass of milk and put in a well. So after the next day, what the king saw was only water. Why there was only water? Everybody, what they thought? Somebody else will put milk and I will take water and put. So everybody put only water. So it became only water tank instead of a milk tank. Similarly, you can see that when we associate with the outside world, you know, see, our spiritual intensity is like milk in the beginning. And when we mix with the outside bad association, when you go to preach, and that is like water. When you mix water with milk, what happens? Gradually it becomes watery, watered down, then the milk has no value at all. Sometimes milk sellers, they give you a cup of milk, you drink and it's like hot water. There is no milk at all. So what a sadhaka should do, because he has some amount of milk, he should sit and turn that milk into curd and churn the butter out of it. When the butter comes out, butter is very substantial. Now then, with the butter you mix with water, any problem? Can the butter mix with water? No, butter will be floating in water. So once a devotee becomes internally oriented very well, like a magnet, in magnet all the molecules are oriented in one direction. Similarly, if a person's, vyavasayatmika buddhir, ekeha kuranandana, he becomes fixed up in Krishna consciousness. With such a sadhana, strong devotee means two symptoms you will see, wisdom and bliss. Both symptoms will be seen. His knowledge is very vast and his bliss, his happiness is 24/7 always. Joyful devotee. So then the devotee is like a butter. Then he cannot be affected by bad association. Therefore, taking in should be first given importance. So out of the two, generally people focus on which one? Taking in or giving out?
Giving out.
Most people focus on giving out. Therefore, there is imbalance. So now, even before you can even bring the topic of imbalance, you make sure people take in. Like I told you, strict filling of, you know, sadhana card and sadhana chart, hearing and reading chart. Every week it should be tested, checked. If you don't test it, if you don't rectify people, they will gradually become weak and slack in filling up this and hearing this. So that we have to be convinced. We want to expand the movement to, you know, great heights, but not at the cost of, you know, devotees hearing and reading and chanting. So to this effect, Prabhupada said, all of our devotees should be equipped with Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Siddhanta, like that he said. So I myself, when I was in Pune, I took out 2 years and went to Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitam. So in that 2 years period, 5 days I'll be there and 2 days I'll come to Pune. So when I would be here and 2 days, the weekend I would come. Every day I would do four programs. Almost 8 to 10 programs I will do in those 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. Again, Monday I'll be back there again, which is in Bombay. So that way, one big plus point for me was, whatever I heard from Monday to Friday, I'll deliver it here. You learn very nicely there and you have a very good chance, multiple programs, 10 programs in 2 days, deliver everything you heard, very good revision also for you. And then again go back and load there and then keep remembering, relishing, and then you come and download. So in this way, I got a very good opportunity to meditate on the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So somebody like Gauranga Prabhu and other devotees, when I told them I am coming for Vidyapitam, they asked me, are you coming to teach or are you coming to learn? I said, I am coming to learn. So they told me, Prabhuji, most of the students, they said that 22, 23 years old, and I was 48. So I was the oldest fellow there in the class. So, but at the same time, I told this Bhima Prabhu asked me, why are you, Rasham Prabhu? I heard you are going to learn there. Is this the age to learn? You are a great preacher. So I told him, Prabhu, I want to improve the quality of my sound. So I want to improve the quality of my presentation of the Bhagavatam. And it really helped me a lot. So now, all of you in your own respective places, nowadays we have online courses. Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitam is organizing. If you go to www.vidyapita.in, if you go there, they will put you through the courses like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Siddhanta. All the videos are available, very good preachers there. So, in this way, we should actually, once you have taken in well, then you can give out. Then where is the imbalance, tell me. Then, in giving out, there is great fun. Once you have learnt well, you feel great joy. You can quote from different sections of Bhagavatam, you can compare, contrast, and it's a very good absorption meditation for you also. Okay, the next one. Keeping relationship with non-devotee relatives versus safeguarding one's Krishna consciousness. Let us see. What is required for this balance? Who can say? Think about it. You will get answer to each of this only by deeply thinking. See, you are mother has maternal side, you have aunt, your mother's sister, mother's brother, and their family members, your cousins. Father's side also, your father may have brothers, sisters, and definitely your family will be visiting sometime or other. When you go, so, and many of them may be not devotees. They may be watching TV, watching movie, reading newspaper, they may be talking politics, and they may be talking family matters, they may be joking, and because they are not devotees, some of them may be even eating meat. So, once you become Krishna conscious, you feel very allergic in those environments. You are not very comfortable. So, sometimes you feel that, let me cut off from all my relatives and safeguard my Krishna consciousness. And then sometimes you feel, oh, I have become cut off from everybody. You know, I have become lonely now. And it is important for me to keep some touch with some relatives. So, you go to the extremes. Either you are cut off from everybody, you feel lonely. Or in order to satisfy everybody, you go here, go there, with everybody you connect, and then you give up all your Krishna consciousness. So now how to protect our Krishna consciousness and not get, you know, misdirected by the relatives? So what do we need for that? Who can say? Yes? You the mic then? Yeah.
Our heart to Krishna, and
just, he's saying, give your heart to Krishna and body to relatives. Is it a good point? Okay. That's a good point. I'll write that also. But you have to also say how to do that. How to give the heart to Krishna and how to give our heart to Krishna and then what? So, that is called as Lord Chaitanya taught that principle to Raghunath Das. He said, Please read it.
Manage your business externally, meditate on Krishna internally.
This we have to cultivate. Lord Chaitanya told this to Raghunath Das. He told, in this there are two. One is manage. The marriage is for the relatives and friends to be happy. Now, and meditate is for Krishna consciousness. Now, most of your relatives are concerned about your body or soul. Body. And devotees are concerned mostly about your soul. So, devotees want to take your soul back to Godhead. And all your material mother, father, relatives, friends, everybody is concerned that my son should get a very good rank. He should go abroad. You should present some paper in some conference, you should achieve some medals and degrees, and you should be very intelligent, and all relatives should be stunned by seeing my son. Parents have expectation, relatives have expectation, that you should shine in your material life, they expect. So that is the first part, manage your business externally. So you do your business in such a way, business also can include academics also, whether it's academics, or business, or whatever you do externally, materially, do it in such a way that they will be happy. At the same time, meditate on Krishna internally, so that your spiritual life will be intact. So, one has to cultivate this. Okay, what else is required?
Including some of the Krishna conscious elements slowly, slowly.
In which one we should include?
Just like, for example, somebody is going for outing with family. So while going with outing, he can just say to his family members, can we go to the temple also? Can we go there?
Along with, okay, you are going to Delhi to Red Fort, Taj Mahal. So you can also tell them, let's go to Sant Nagar. There is a beautiful temple there, big temple on a hilltop. Let's include that program and take them to Govindas there. Give them a feast and then Radha Parsarthi Darshan also. Yeah, wonderful idea. We can include, which means he is saying that along with their interest, so we can say that as, you know, see, combine spiritual inputs, correct, no? While cooperating with their material expectations. Like if you go with them to Taj Mahal, Red Fort, they'll be very happy. And you tell them, see, I made you happy, now you make me happy also. Now you come to ISKCON temple, can take them. Good idea. So, to do 5 and 6, you need one very stout, very important quality. Nobody has told till now. You know what it is? Yes. Maturity. Say one Hari Bol for him.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Very important. Maturity is required. What is maturity? We have to cultivate this maturity. So how will we cultivate maturity? Anybody can say? Where we'll be able to balance between boldness and sensitivity. Bold means, so how many of you feel you are on the bold side? You are very confident in expressing your viewpoint. You don't care about others. Even if the truth is broken, you don't mind. You want to present your opinion. How many of you are on that side? Okay, nobody. Okay, how many of you are on the other side? You are oftentimes too soft. If somebody else presents their opinion, you will remain timid like a pussycat. You will not express your opinion. How many of you are in that? So we have one, two. You are afraid to raise hand also. Isn't it? So we have many of you. Okay, so you are more on the softer side. Then what do you have to cultivate? That's how maturity will develop. If that means, you know, those people who are more on the softer side, they have to learn to cultivate firmness. Boldness, like Gadadhar Pandit, he was more on the softer side. So, because he was on the softer side, you know, Vallabha Bhattacharya, he was the only one who could make, Gadadhar Pandit was the only one who had to hear the commentary of Vallabha Bhattacharya from him, because he was very soft natured, he couldn't say no to him. So, but those who are having that firm nature, they know how to say a sweet no sometimes. So, and those who are too courageous on the boldness side, what they have to cultivate? They have to listen more, they have to be empathic more, they have to be sensitive, they have to think twice before speaking, they should give chance for others to speak and all that. So if you are on the softer side, then you need to cultivate firmness. That's how you will increase your maturity. Okay, how will you cultivate firmness or boldness? If you are on the softer side, how will you cultivate firmness? What you need to do? Yeah.
Means we need to take support from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, in line with the Shastra.
No, in line with Shastra only we will do whatever we do. But I am asking, how will you increase your firmness? Firmness means, you know, your courage to express your view or opinion, or to be bold in a situation, not be timid, to express your concerns. How you can increase that being firm? A manager has to, every leader manager has to be firm and polite, both polite and firm, bold and sensitive, courage and considerate. So any of you raised hand for being soft, that means you are willing to listen to others, but you have to voice your concern also. How can we do that? Especially, see, if you are more on the softer side, then the relatives and friends will put you in the pocket and take you. You can't bring your Krishna consciousness to them. So you need to be, like here rightly suggested, we can take them to your, like they are asking you to come here, you have asked them to come here. Like many of our students, very boldly they said, my birthday party I will celebrate in ISKCON Govindas. They have said, and they brought all their friends to ISKCON Govindas, and they brought them to temple, made them dance in the kirtan, took them to Balaji Darshan and everything, gave them a gift, one Prabhupada's book as a gift, one Bhagavad Gita each. And many of those friends became devotees. Because it requires some amount of boldness to give Krishna consciousness to relatives. At the same time, if you are really bold also, you can be very friendly with relatives, it's possible. Because you are not insecure or fearful. So, therefore you need a combination of boldness and sensitivity to become a mature devotee. And actually this develops by experience. You have to go through varieties of experiences and situations in life where just like gold put in fire gets purified, no? Similarly, we also gradually develop maturity. It's called a school of hard knocks. We learn from school of hard knocks gradually over time. Or maturity, there is another way to develop maturity. There is a simple formula. Yeah, you get knowledge by reading Prabhupada books, Shastras. You get wisdom, especially when you hear from realized souls, great devotees. When you hear from them, you get, you know, completely filtered wisdom. They have such a concrete wisdom learned from the scripture and applied in their lives. They give wisdom. And then after hearing this too, you apply it in your practical life, you get realization. When we practically apply, you get realization. So, knowledge plus wisdom plus realization becomes maturity. So, Prabhupada gives an example. You can hear and learn. Or you can hear and experience and learn. Or you can hear, experience and still not learn and get some more kicks and then learn also. Like one fellow hears that if you jump from a four-story building, you will break your leg. So he will never jump. Or somebody heard it, he doesn't believe it, he jumps, breaks his leg, then he learns it. But somebody, even after breaking leg and being in hospital for 4 months, still he'll go up. Again to jump. You ask him, hey, again you are jumping? He will say, now I'll jump from another angle, he will say. So there are people like that. So in this way, maturity can also develop by reading knowledge in spiritual books like Prabhupada books. Prabhupada says, bookish knowledge without realization is useless, he says in Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge plus wisdom and applying in our lives. If you do that, then maturity will develop very fast. And then with that maturity, you can do this. Which one? Keeping relationship with non-devotee relatives. That's what Raghunath Das could do. Correct, no? His mother, father, everybody felt very happy. And also, one will become intelligent to deal with the material world very successfully. Like you can see that, like one example I'll tell you. There was one newly arrived daughter-in-law in a home. Now this daughter-in-law is a devotee. So she's a devotee girl. If she's an intelligent devotee girl, what she will do? She'll get up in the morning and make sure cooking is done for the husband and for the children. They are sent to the school, husband is sent to office. Then everybody is gone. Then by 9:30, 10 o'clock, she is free. Then she can do her chanting, her reading, shastra and everything. She has her time. But if she is not very intelligent, you know, as soon as she gets up in the morning, she will take a bath and go to puja room to chant. And she will tell the husband, you cut the sabji and keep it. I am coming. I'll chant some rounds and come. At least 8 rounds I want to finish. She goes, the husband is not a devotee. He is wondering, what is this? You know, she loves Krishna more than me. They become very irritated. And they even come to fight with ISKCON devotees also. Hey, what you guys have taught? You should tell my wife, teach her first how to serve my husband. Husband is the first God. You know, and then let she be after Krishna. And then those Matajis have to be told, you know, actually, if you are in a home, you need some maturity to deal with people. So then she will say, oh, if I am getting up in the morning and cooking for the children, husband sending to office, all my spiritual life goes to the back seat, then you know, I will never be able to go back to Godhead, they will say. Because they see everything like one or zero. They cannot see how to maturely balance. Yeah. Similarly, there are old people who will be very eager to give advice to, you know, like, you know, say old mother-in-law, father-in-law, they want to give advice to son and daughter-in-law sometimes. They want to give upadesh. Some people will say, oh, there's a big age gap between us. They were old-time people and we are so young. They can't understand and they tell them, you just go and relax. Don't waste our time. Then what happens to old people? They get offended. But sometimes if they just give a lending of the ears, okay, they are old people, respectable people. They have raised us from childhood. Although they may be saying some impractical things, still we should. It's our duty to listen to them. Give our ears. And then we will try to be practical. And they may say so many things which may not be relevant in the current times. But still we hear. That hearing itself gives them satisfaction that our points are heard and they will give blessings to them. And then you don't have to, you know, then later on you will be saved of lot of time. But if you don't listen now, there will be lot of quarrels in the family, you will see. This is another example of immaturity. Correct, no? So I can give you a dozen examples like this, immaturity. So if you are mature, we can make relatives happy. Whether it is mother-in-law, father-in-law, whether it is husband or wife or children or boys dealing with parents. Most of the students have really acted immaturely due to which the parents have become displeased. That's the main reason. They didn't know that. Because you know, when like one boy went home and told, as soon as he learned about reincarnation, he went home, his mother was cooking in the kitchen some meat. Mom, you are cooking meat. You will become a pig in the next life. You know. He went and directly told her, I heard that when you leave this body, Atma will go into another body because you are eating dirty things, you will become a pig. Mom became angry. She came out of the kitchen and said, I will become pig in next life. You are already a pig. She said, you know. So, why this type of problems are created? Because children act very immaturely. Actually, if you can act maturely, you can. One example of mature action I will tell you. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, you all know that. Now his mother was weeping. She came to Shantipur. Mahaprabhu went to meet her. You know what Mahaprabhu said? My dear mother, I have taken sannyas now. But if you order me, I will come to Navadvip. And I will stay at home with you. And mother said, hey beta, what is this? You are wearing saffron dress. You have shaven your head. And such a sannyasi coming and living with mother at home. The whole world will laugh at you. And our home reputation also will be spoiled. I can't demand you to come home. At the same time, As a sannyasi, if you are traveling all over the world, I will never get to see you, my child. I had two sons. Vishwarupa already took sannyas and went to Pandharpur. You are the second son. If you also do that, you know, I will be completely left alone in life. So if you, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. You can't stay at home, reputation will be spoiled. If I allow you to travel all over the world, then I can never see you. And then she said, I have only one request of you. She said that if you stay in Jagannath Puri, you know, Vaishnavas from Bengal will come to Jagannath Puri and they will come back, they will get some news about you to me. And that will give me great happiness. Similarly, sometimes you will come to Navadvip to take a Ganga bath. Then I can see you at that time, occasionally. So by both these ways, I will be able to be in touch with you and I will be satisfied. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh mother, whatever you say, I will do. Wherever you ask me to stay, I will stay there. And 10 days Mother Sachi cooked prasad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Mother Sachi that you gave me this human body. Otherwise, how I can practice Krishna consciousness? If you didn't give me this human form of life. So he really, really, you know, won the heart of his mother. And mother, while returning to Navadvip, she was thinking, oh, my son ate from my hands for 10 days. And he said, he belongs to me. You know, he said, he will stay where I tell him to stay. He will do what I tell him to do. He was so much glorifying me for giving him the body. So all these thoughts were going in Sachi's mind. She became completely satisfied. So Lord Chaitanya knows the art of pleasing the mother, still remaining a good sannyasi. You can see that. He didn't foolishly hurt the mother and father. You see? So one should know that maturity is required for that. Okay, reading newspaper versus protecting one's consciousness from impurity. Oh, this is like Chanakya says, Vishadapi amritam grahyam amedyadapi kanchanam. He says that, say you go to the lavatory, you sit in the commode and say your gold ring, some people keep fidgeting with the finger like this, keep doing like this. Suddenly imagine your gold ring fell into the commode inside and it fell into the stool. You just passed stool and on the top of the stool this has fallen now. But it's a gold ring, say it is 5 lakh rupees. How many of you will take it out? Good question, no? You will take it out, no? Sure. What will you do after taking out? Not only wash it, you will put soap 10 times in the hand, to wash. So you have to, it's a gold ring and it's fallen in stool. So you have to take it, it's a costly thing. Similarly, sometimes even in the worldly books also, there are some valuable information, sometimes, correct, no? Something interesting, something valuable may be there. So, therefore we read newspaper, like for example, this Twin Towers collapsed in America, no? So, as soon as it collapsed, in the daytime, broad daylight it collapsed. So, I got the news by, within 1 hour of the collapse, I got the news, immediately. So, that evening in the lecture I said, people were like, their jaws dropped. How Prabhuji knows Twin Tower collapse, September 11? So, Prabhu, it happened at in the morning and now in the evening lecture you are talking about it. So, people can connect very easily when you talk a message. So, in that sense, keeping abreast of what's happening in the world around is useful or not? It's useful for preaching also. So, we call it as a Vedic observer. We can observe from the Vedic point of view and tell people how to get a Krishna conscious perspective. I did also when the corona started, lockdown. Immediately we had corona fear, death near, kindle spiritual fire. So we had one of the first, that's where we started all this. So in this way reading newspaper is helpful, but the problem is we can get trapped. We may sometimes get impurity also, like you're taking out the gold ring along with the stool also comes in the hand along with that. It's a very impure thing, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes you go to get news in the internet, you may end up, you know, some impurity sticking to your mind along with that. So then you all can suggest me now, how will you work with it? How will you make sure that you only went for one item which is news and you will not get in touch with any impurity? Like one of our students went to a hostel to call a boy and the boy was watching one Hindi movie which was this fellow's favorite in his school days. And he heard the song, and he heard that favorite Hindi song of Amitabh or somebody. So when he saw that song, he thought, oh, This is a movie, I used to be delighted. So he went to call the boy, and the boy said, "Sir, I'll come in 5 minutes, please take your seat." He said, "Okay, I don't mind taking seat." He took a seat and both of them watching the movie. And in the center they were wondering, "Aray, he went so long ago, he hasn't come, go and find out." And another fellow went to find out, he understood, he got stuck. So he went to call a student for the program, but he got stuck in the impurity. Correct, no? That's the point we are making here. How to ensure we don't get stuck in impurity while getting something from the material world? What is required for that? Integrity is required for that. What is required? Read it.
Integrity and character is required not to become diverted, diluted, deviated, or destroyed.
Four D's you can remember, isn't it? We need integrity and character not to become diverted. Diverted. Some people get diverted, no? This boy went to call a student for the wonderful Krishna Conscious program. He himself got diverted to a material goal. Or diluted also, when we don't have integrity, then we dilute the presentation of philosophy. So therefore we don't dilute. And then deviated means finished. Apasampradaya. And destroyed means a person's Krishna consciousness may be lost because of no integrity. So integrity means to keep the promise to Krishna and Guru. Wherever I go, whether I go to office, I go to college, I go to hostel, I am Krishna Das. And I will always act in that capacity. Like Hanuman went to Lanka in search of Sita. But when he, in the moonlit night, in the top there was Pushpaka Viman, and there was a hole like this, fire hole. From there he got down inside. The palace he saw, Ravana was sleeping in the middle. And around Ravana was all beauty, queens. Many, many, many celestial beauties were sleeping. Women, and some women were holding a jal-jal, they play, you know, in their hands. Some women were holding drums. Some were holding veenas in their hands. They were all sleeping. There was a light, a dim light in that room. And their bodies were all very delicately formed with no blemish in any part of the body. Because Ravana would select the best of the beauties and bring them to Lanka for enjoying, isn't it? So Hanuman saw all of them, but amongst them he was searching for whom? Sita. Suddenly he realized, "My Lord, you know, I am a Naishtika Brahmachari. What am I doing here looking at different women of different beauties? And am I getting degraded?" Then he said, "Although I am looking at all these women, my mind is not rendered impure, even a bit. Why? Because my mission of Ram is very one-pointed. I am only doing one thing right now. What am I doing? Searching for Sita. Therefore, I never became agitated by seeing them. I never became impure by seeing them. My integrity is not lost. And my identity as Ram Das, Ramadut, that is not lost." Then he said to himself, "What decides whether one is pure or impure is the motive with which one does things. My motive is to please Ram. So, although I am looking at all these women, I am only searching for Sita, I have no impure motivation." So, he maintained his character and integrity. So, he didn't get lost. He didn't get lost even though he had to search for Sita in such places in Lanka. Now, we are running out of time. So, 8 valuable points we got. So, I will take this and put it there. I'll put it in the slideshow only here. So based on this only we arrived, correct, no? Yeah. Now cultivating mode of goodness behavior is a very big word when you say mode of goodness. So there are many things to be done. So therefore I suggested these things. Okay? So let us. So these are all things we should try to implement in our lives. Okay. So we got eight valuable points today. Actually, this is such an important topic. Much more can be done after this topic. We can, when you go here, even for this, we can talk like the way we did today. You can do it as a homework yourself for all these topics. For example, ideal behavior, not frivolous behavior. So how do we do that? We have to think about it. Actually, all these behaviors, for each of it also, we can come up with homework. What if I do, this good behavior can come, correct, no? So we can think very deeply and arrive at them. But these are very valuable inputs for anyone who is very sincerely, because this gives you very tangible action plans on how you can improve your spiritual life, how you can improve your life in such a way that this gives you a clue for balancing the extremes. Now I will not do one more session on those things. Now you all got a clue now. So only yesterday and today I did balancing extremes. So you all can do for the rest of the seminar in the same manner. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now let us take some questions now. Okay, till now. You can put the question. You can share. So let us take the questions now. Prabal Prabhu is asking, how to rise above sentimental platform? You have to be practical. So rising above sentimental means be very practical. And how to be practical? Have a superior guide you. Just do what he tells you to do. Eventually you will find yourself very stable. So it makes your life very easy. If you have a very good senior and he's very intelligent, wise devotee, and you ask him to guide you step by step, and you tell him, Prabhuji, give me instruction, I'll fulfill it. And eventually you will see that you will not become emotional or sentimental in life, but you will achieve concrete goals in life. That's one thing. Another thing about sentimental thing, you may be feeling that you become very emotional in many situations. How not to be too emotional? So the opposite of emotional is what? Rational. Correct, no? So in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was emotional or rational? Emotional. And Krishna taught him Bhagavad Gita to become rational. To understand that you are just crying for a body. Imagine if somebody throws a jar of chemicals outside the compound wall, nobody is going to cry. This, if you think this body is a lump of chemicals, when it dies, why should you cry? Or if you say, I am crying for the soul, but soul never dies, then why should you cry? There is no reason to cry for the soul, there is no reason to cry for the body. Body is never alive and the soul never dies, so there is no reason to cry. So Krishna brought a very rational, solid understanding of the soul and body, and Arjuna became free from all sentimental lamentation and everything. That kashmalam is sentimental. So study the scriptures and act by them, and then gradually our viveka buddhi will increase and we can rise above sentimental platform. Read the second question. Where is the mic?
Second question.
Mandyananga. No, this one. Second question, yeah. Anirudh Prabhu from Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yes. Hare Krishna Guruji, is mundane anger and sadness in extreme behavior due to Maya?
Yeah. They are like pendulum. You become extremely angry and frustrated that something didn't go your way. Then that means you are disturbed. And despite your disturbance, still things don't go your way. You become disheartened. That is sadness. So disturbed and disheartened means anger and sadness. They are two extremes of the pendulum. So yes, we have to overcome these two extremes, surely. Because if we become disheartened, that means we go to tamoguna. If we are extremely disturbed, we go to rajaguna. So the rajaguna, tamaguna behavior, we have to rise above. And sattvaguna means what? Hope, please all of you repeat. Hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. Write it down on a paper and then you will see that, okay, hope for the best means in this particular situation, what best things can come. One example I'll tell you. Say somebody, you know, took some money from you and told that they will do it. They will do the work. They took some 1 lakh rupees or 2 lakh rupees. And now you came to know that he's a cheater. Now neither is he giving the money back nor doing the work. So you are extremely disturbed. Your mind says so many things, you know. Say you are extremely angry. You want to beat him up, break his bones. You feel like that. That's anger comes. And another side of the mind says you are very sad that, you know, oh, I lost my 2 lakh rupees. He's not giving back. Oh, mind is crying also. So what to do? Okay, hope for the best. So what are the ways I can get the money back from him? So this fellow respects his grandfather or his uncle who is in a very big position. I will tell that person to tell him. Or in that village the MLA is very strong. I can take the MLA support and request the MLA to talk to him. Big man, he may be afraid. So these are ways I can get the money back, isn't it? Or I can go and meet him and say, this 2 lakh rupees every month you give me 5,000. Little by little you pay back. Maybe he will agree. What is the hope for the worst? I mean, be prepared for the worst. That is, this 2 lakh will not come at all back. So a devotee of Krishna means we have to be very practical. Because in devotion service also, sometimes you get success, sometimes you get failure. We have to always hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. Okay, if the money doesn't come, what to do? You know? Okay, go ahead with life. Don't get bogged down by sadness. Because you can assume in your mind, maybe in the previous life I took somebody else's 2 lakh and that money is now taken away back. Understand? Atmakritam vipakam. And go on with life. Be cheerful and then be very careful. In future, don't get cheated. Once you did a mistake, you learn from it and don't commit the same mistake. Even if you want to do a mistake, make a new one. Don't make the old mistake again. Go ahead.
How to balance professional life while doing bhakti as in current situation, have work hard sometimes to secure the job?
Yeah, I understand. Nowadays professional life is becoming very challenging. People are not getting jobs and those who are in job are made to work very hard. And bhakti sometimes can go to the back, it may assume a back seat. What I am telling devotees these days, based on your skill or talent, find out what all possible jobs you can do. That is one research you have to do. You should have multiple alternatives. And a devotee means you should find out which job will give me enough time for Krishna consciousness, which job is a very stable job, which job can fetch me enough money without having to work too long hours or too hard. One example I'll tell you. In one of the places in my travel, one husband and wife, they both are working in a school and the husband is giving them 24,000 each. One is a Sanskrit teacher, his wife is Sanskrit teacher and he is Hindi teacher. How much they are making together? 48,000. 24 plus 24 and they are happy. And the husband was telling that their monthly expenditure never exceeds 20,000. And then 28,000 they are putting straight in the bank. And very conservative family, they don't waste money, they don't move out anywhere, they just stay. And from the school is at a stone's throw from the house. So why I am telling you this? We should know, it's not that you have to make a lot of money. Money, making a lot of money is not intelligence. Saving money is intelligence. There are foolish people who make 1.5 lakhs per month also salary, but they don't save anything. Real intelligence means maximize Krishna time, minimize Maya time. A very simple formula. You know, any devotee who knows the art of keeping maximum time for Krishna morning and evening and doing such a job which pays well, which exactly fits your skill, and they should be in need of you. Not that you have to go with certificate and beg for job. Your skill should match the need of the employer very well. So they will not throw you out of the job very easily. You are going to do a sincere job, very good job. And it is not a three shifts job, you know. First week, first shift, second week, second shift. It's not like that. So one should look for a job like that and settle well. Or if need be, you can cultivate a talent also. You can cultivate some skill and then get a job. So that it will be a very secure job for you. So you can go on for a long time and bhakti will also go on. Go ahead.
Actually, I started chanting last year in November, and because I came from Pune to Assam for work, I chant on hand fingers since I don't have bead. Shall I continue or stop it immediately?
One can chant in fingers till you get the beads. Something is better than nothing. And eventually you can get beads there locally, yeah. Yes. Srinath Prabhu from Bangalore, yeah?
Yes. I am 17 years old. My mother tells me to...
My mother tells me to do exercise, to have a healthy body, to practice Krishna consciousness, to which I also agree. But I prefer to wake up, bath, take a bath and chant and then do exercise. But my mother prefers me to do exercise, bath and then chant. So that sweating arising from exercise goes away when I bath. So what is the best thing I can do, knowing that chanting is of more priority than exercise, while keeping consideration of my mother also? Okay. See, as long as you are able to complete your 16 rounds after exercising and bathing and then chanting, no problem. But if you say that, Prabhuji, because I am putting chanting at the tail end, and because of that only half chanting gets over, then it is not good. If you are able to finish all your chanting, then it is very good. Should devotees
who have not completed Bhagavad Gita and small books spend time learning harmonium or read Srila Prabhupada books?
Just read Prabhupada books. Actually, it's not completed. If you are reading Prabhupada books regularly, then you can also learn harmonium. They say, for example, every day you are reading at least an hour, 1 hour of Prabhupada books you are reading, then you can learn harmonium. I wouldn't say that you have to complete all the books of Prabhupada, then only harmonium. I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
Some devotees have a stammering problem, so they are not able to chant Mahamantra clearly and completely. What is the best that they can do?
Not a problem. Krishna is a Bhavagrahi. He knows the attitude of the devotee. They can chant their best. Yeah.
During Chaturmas, what austerity would you recommend to householder sadhaka to perform to grow spiritually more? As have to balance family and job, please recommend do's and don'ts during Chaturmas so that can easily balance material and spiritual life.
Yeah, actually, in ISKCON during Chaturmas, they follow the diet. For example, 1 month they don't take dahi, another month they don't take milk, 1 month they don't take shak, and like that they have whatever rule is given in Vaishnava calendar, we follow that. Besides that, in the Chaturmas period, saintly people in the Vedic times used to study the scriptures more. So if somebody can take a little extra, you can make a plan in the Chaturmas. I will complete the, it comes during the June, July, say July, August, September, October. Before the Kartik month, I will finish reading Krishna book once. Or I will finish completing this 10th canto. Or something like that. You take some kind of spiritual vow. Or I will chant 1 or 2 rounds extra. I will chant like that. Some people actually memorize some shlokas during these months, like Kunti's prayers, Gajendra Moksha prayers, like that. So you can take whatever is possible for you. For a devotee, we don't need any external austerity at all. You just have to increase your devotional service. Shravanam and Kirtanam has to be increased. You don't have to do any serious austerities. You don't have to worry. Swaraj Bhujbal Prabhu?
I listen to Vedic chants available on YouTube. There are various Vedic chants for cleansing body, mind, for provoking intelligence of the mind. So my question is that, is it beneficial or it shall be done under the spiritual master guidance?
Actually, in our Brahma Mata Gaudiya Sampradaya, there is a very strong emphasis on the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and you don't need anything extraneous. Actually, if you think you need anything extraneous, then it becomes divided faith. We don't need any other external agents. Just chant the Mahamantra regularly, every day, very faithfully, sincerely, and don't divert your attention to anything else. Read Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, worship the deity if possible. You can keep a picture of Radha Krishna, Gaurinidha at home. Three things only you have to do. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shiksha. Bolo Krishna means chant Hare Krishna regularly. And Bhajo Krishna means worship Krishna, Krishna's deity form. And Karo Krishna Shiksha means study Gita Bhagavatam and teach others. If you do these three things, you will go back to Godhead. Other things are extraneous. Yeah.
Most of the times when I chant, rather than hearing Mahamantra, I keep contemplating on how I have no attraction
for the holy name. How material world is miserable. How much impure my heart is. How merciful Prabhupada was, etc. So is it proper to contemplate on these things at the time of chanting, and how to hear the holy name attentively for a long time? Please suggest. Actually, it's not a very good idea to be thinking of this all the time. Actually, such thoughts may pass through the mind, but you will see, if you are really having this mood, what you are talking here, your chanting will be very heard with a very good quality. Therefore, because if you are not hearing attentively the holy name, that means these things are simply substituting your chanting, which is not at all a good idea. Actually, Prabhupada once was giving an example. One devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, should we develop loving relationship with Krishna or we should do our work, service? And Prabhupada said, the night when you dine with your family, husband, wife, children, mother, father and all, you know, do you eat your food or you exchange loving relationships? Yes, what do? We do both. Same way with chanting, you will see, attentively one can hear the holy name. Along with that, this mood will go in the background. But if this mood is coming in the forefront and chanting is not heard, that is not a good thing. You have to make sure that all these prayers and everything should be pushed behind, and you should chant two words and try to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. After finishing one round, you can think all this, no problem. And Vaikuntha Nayak Prabhu from Mysore is asking, this is a question on the point you mentioned about balancing between family and Krishna. We see that Vibhishan gave up his family and chose Krishna, but Bhishma Deva stuck with his family or his material vows and did not choose the side of Pandavas or Krishna. So how to understand this apparent contradiction between Vibhishan's behavior and Bhishma Dev? Both are considered devotees with apparently contradictory behavior. No contradiction at all, because both of them did exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. Bhishma actually was told by Krishna that you should stay on the side of Kauravas and you should fight on the side of Kauravas, and I will be on Pandava's side. We both will enjoy Virya Rasa in the battlefield. So Bhishma Deva stuck to his duty on the order of Krishna. And Vibhishan was the lover of Lord Rama. He left his family, and both of them exactly aligned with Lord's will. So they are perfect devotees. Rajanish Prabhu from Ghaziabad is asking, I feel if we have Krishna in our heart, then there is no need of others. We need fulfill, we feel fulfilled. But at the same time, but I behave with others in such a way that they feel hurt, what I should do? Because they think you are impersonal. You think only Krishna is enough for me. I don't need others. And I have elder sister who is soft by heart and worships Krishna. But whenever I try to convince her to follow ISKCON, when I become bold, it becomes irritation in relationships. My consciousness gets disturbed. At the same time, when I become soft, then her philosophy is away from Krishna consciousness. Okay. What should I do with her to make her devotee, as she is soft by heart and good human being? You can put her in touch with another very soft-spoken Mataji, who will be able to deal with her in such a way that she will not develop aversion for ISKCON. Rather, she will develop affinity for ISKCON. You seem to be a little strong-natured devotee, not a problem. That has to be gradually toned down in such a way that, you know, especially you say your sister is very soft-natured. She needs another soft-natured devotee who can escort her in spiritual life. And some another senior Mataji in your temple. And if you strongly preach to her, your sister may develop aversion for ISKCON and devotees. You think that she becomes more be good, do good, pious girl. That's likely. So, let somebody, some another lady who can encourage her like a motherly or elder sisterly fashion. I did that with some of my sisters and it really worked very well. I am also very strong natured like you. So, I never applied it on my sisters. I told my sisters, you go at your own pace. And I put them in touch with one very good lady called Her Grace Padmasakhi Mataji in Coimbatore. And she brought up my three sisters so wonderfully in devotional life. We are all eternally indebted to her. You can do the same. Yeah. Last question. How many more? Really? Quick. Okay. Read, who can read very fast? Yeah. I'm sorry, I wanted to ask this yesterday. Okay. How to progress towards Satvaguna and remain stable? That if my family members deliberately don't want me to progress spiritually, food and other lifestyles is not Krishna consciousness. I don't fight with them. As I feel I'm in debt to them, expecting more than what I deserve. Is there any hope for Satvaguna? I find Keval Ashtakam very inspiring and it increases my faith and I think the holy name of Krishna is everything. Means it includes experience of all of the process of bhakti. So if I'm chanting for 2 hours, I'm simultaneously having prasadam for 2 hours. I am also remembering story of Lord Rama's arrow being destroyed by Lord Hanuman chanting Lord Rama's name. So if the Lord's own weapon can be destroyed by his holy name, how to, okay, it's basically, basically glorifying the holy name. I'll observe all the rules once I become economically independent as I am student. But till then, it's staying in gratitude a dominating factor overall. Yeah, you are in this situation, what to do? Pray to Krishna to put you in a little better situation and go on. Yeah, Rajesh Rajprabhu is asking from Bhuvaneshwar. Some of the preachers who come to voice, somebody can read it please.
Some of the preachers who come to voice make very common statement like Bengalis are more attached to their mothers, so there are not many Bengali brahmacharis and state Orissa is the best and people in Bengal are unfit to become preachers. They also quote some statement from the lecture that you say that faces are jale ruffle and tease the scent.
Scripture they have coined on their own. Jale ruffle, which scripture says? Show me that. No scripture says that jale ruffle. They are calling fish as a jale ruffle. Have you ever seen any fall coming in the jal? Only fishes come. And fish is a non-veg. It has nothing to do with any vegetarianism. Yeah.
Harshit from Mumbai. One of my students who is a devotee in the ISKCON Zoo said it's enough to bring Sri Krishna, Radharani, deity at home and worship. But according to Vastu Shastra, it is says in our house we should also have a deity of other...
Hey, what is this? He has gone to the next question. I didn't complete the answer. Yeah. No, our Rajesh Rajprabhu's question is over. You are reading, next question you are reading. Yeah, I didn't finish it.
Tease and sentiment of people of the state. Please, Froji, tell me.
Hey, no, which one you are reading? Okay. That question is, actually, they also make sometimes a mockery and take these communal statements as a fun which hurts the sentiments of people residing in that voice, that state a lot. See, today the questions are very, very long. It's like one essay, one page question. We are running out of time. So my request to all of you, be very specific when you ask questions. Just ask one question, then you can address it. There are 5 questions, you can't add in one. Actually, there will be people, you are from Bengal, they are eating fish, they may force you to eat fish, I understand. I agree that you need more brahmacharis in Bengal state, wonderful. But if your situation is not favorable, what to do? Hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. Write both extremes and all the steps in between and then find out how best you can do in that situation. How best can I serve? Everybody should ask that question. Yeah. Harshad Prabhu. One of my students who is a devotee in ISKCON said that it is enough to bring Sri Krishna Radharani deity at home and worship. But according to Vastu Shastra, it says that in a house we should also have a deity of other gods and chant the shlokas. Otherwise there will be bad consequences if we don't follow these rules in Vastu Shastra. Please clarify. I don't know who told you about this. Maybe some pandit must have told you. Some pandita. Actually, where Krishna or Vishnu is present, all the demigods are present. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayanangaja. It is said, all the devatas are born from Narayana's limbs. Actually, all the devatas are completely dependent on Lord Narayana. Where Lord Narayana is there, all the 33 crore devatas are there automatically. So, and the Vastu consultant you asked, I don't know who it is, but where, in whichever home Lord Narayana is there, all the devatas also reside at the lotus feet of Narayana. Because they come to worship him always. You can check with whichever devotee is guiding you, you can check with them. Okay, Moharan Mitra Prabhu is saying, but how can I become, in case Harshad Prabhu, you have very strong faith in this and your parents and other relatives want it, you can keep the devatas by the side, but keep Radha Krishna very prominently in your home. Okay, Moharan Mitra, how can I become committed to my goals? Yeah, I couldn't speak on that. You read the third verse of Nectar of Instruction, Utsahan, Nishchayat, Dairyat, you will get very good, valuable inputs there. My mom, and P.G. Prabhu is asking Indo, my mama is involved in gambling and he sends us to, sends us grains from village, would it be sinful to eat them? If yes, how can I tell my mom that I can't eat them? So, the grains naturally come from village for many people. For the time being, you take grains. After you take a job, tell mom that I will purchase grains, you don't take from the village. You can have a good job, earn well, and then give grains to mom and they don't have to get from the village anymore. Or you make your mama into a devotee, so you never do gambling anymore. Either of the two. Yeah. Vishwamantra Prabhu is asking, I have a question that I have to, I have stepmom who is fully materialistic and always tries to show her anger on us as we are in Krishna consciousness, but I think it's Krishna's desire in the situation. I reject her association as I stop talking with her and I talk only on right amount. Is what I did is right, Prabhu? Please suggest me. Yeah. For you, at the moment it is all right. But eventually when you increase your maturity, you can talk to your step-mom so nicely that she is happy. At the same time, your Krishna consciousness will be intact. That requires maturity. If you cultivate maturity, you can do that. For the time being, it, what you are saying is all right. Okay, last question. Dilsukh Prabhu is asking, how to do natural inspection? There are three types of inspection. One is self-feedback, peer feedback, and superior feedback. All the three we can take. We can find out how am I doing by self-observation, and we can tell our friends to give us some feedback also, and we can ask our superiors to give feedback, and then you note down, and then based on all that you can bring about change. And how to get realization from knowledge? By application. Whatever knowledge you heard, your personal application you do, not just here, implement in your life. Then realization will be supplied by Lord in your heart. He will give you gradually realization more and more and more to the degree you become very sincere and faithful in application. Srila Prabhupada ki.